this good weekend to be here, you guys. We're gonna dive into some stuff and have a good time. I wanted to tell you first an exciting thing that happened in my life, and it's a deal. Anybody like deals? This is the best deal I have ever gotten in my entire life. Okay, so my 8-year-old son, he had this dream. He wanted to fly on an airplane. It was his biggest dream. He's never been on a plane before. And so we talk about it all the time. For like over a year, he's like, oh, can we go and visit my cousin in Colorado flying an airplane? So on Black Friday, I found this crazy deal. I'm not lying. This is for sure. I couldn't even believe it myself. $44 a ticket round trip out of Madison. I know. So I purchased it right away. I grabbed it. I know, no way. So I purchased him right away, right? I thought, I'm going to get to Madison, and they're going to laugh at me and go, are you kidding me, lady? Really? You thought this was for real? This is a scam. $44? But it wasn't. I got there, and it was legit. We got on the plane. It was awesome. But here's the deal. If you fly, this is where they get you. Where, you know where? The luggage. The baggage. Yeah, that's where they get you, is the baggage. And I'm like, I'm going to beat the system. Watch this, because if I would have gotten any, even like a carry-on or anything, we would have at least tripled our cost. So I'm like, no, we're going to keep these $44 round-trip flights. I'm going to beat the system. So they let you have one personal item, like a purse or a small backpack. So Colin had to fit everything he needed in this tiny backpack and mine in my purse, and we did it. We packed light. So yeah, thank you. I need that. If I know it's going to cost me, I pack light. Normally, I'm not like that. I mean, some of you are light packers, some of you are heavy packer. I fall into the heavy packer category. I dump everything in there. I'm not sure, you know, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? I don't know. Maybe I'll feel like wearing this, or, you know, you got to bring all your shoes. So I'm a kind of a heavy packer. Now, this has happened to me before, and this is a problem when you go to the airport because they have a weight limit. And this has literally happened to me. I've gone, and problem if you don't know how much you've packed is when you get there and they're like, no, this is too much. This is not going to work. And you either have to pay or you have to start dumping stuff, right? Spiritually, we all have bags on our pack. We've got packs on our bag. Packs on our bag? Bags on our... We've got backpacks. Oh, my goodness. We've got these bags that we're carrying around with, right? And sometimes we don't know what we've even put in it. Sometimes it's over the weight limit, and we had no idea because we're packing the stuff that we didn't even know as we're packing that it's even in there. But we're walking around with this weight. And this morning, we're talking about matters of the heart. So I'm going to share a little personal with you. A little over a year ago, I was carrying my pack around, and it started getting really heavy, really weighty. And it got so heavy that eventually I broke. And I sat in brokenness. And if any of you have ever been broken before, true brokenness, it's hard to even understand or comprehend what's going on, let alone try to explain it to anybody. And I felt like I was broken emotionally, physically, mentally. I felt like I was in a pit. I was broken. But a few things happened while I was sitting in that brokenness. Some things that happened inside of me. The first thing was I craved the Word of God. Like, I'm in this pit, I'm in this brokenness, but I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I would open it every chance I got. When I woke up in the morning, read it throughout the day. When I couldn't sleep at night, I'd open up the Word of God. It was like, everything else in me felt dead and broken, but the Word of God was like bringing me to life. I can't even hardly describe it, but the words on the page felt like it was jumping out at me. It was always exactly what I needed. I felt like I craved the Word of God. It was like I was reading the Bible for the first time. That's how it felt. It felt that new and that fresh. And then I started worshiping like I've never worshiped before. Worship became so pure. It wasn't an obligation. It wasn't a ritual. God says in his word and in Psalms that he is close to the brokenhearted. And I felt that so real. I felt God's presence so real. And I would cry out to him, and he would sing over me, and I felt so near to him. There's some sort of intimacy that happens when you're broken, some sort of intimacy with the Lord. And although I don't miss the season of brokenness, now sometimes I do miss that level of intimacy with the Lord. It was painful and precious all at the same time. And the other thing that happened during the season was God led me to surrender some things. Surrender some things that were in my pack that I didn't know were in there. So I'm in the season of brokenness, and then I'm in this pain, and God keeps bringing to my attention this seemingly random topic. I'd see it everywhere, in scripture, in articles, in podcasts, in messages. Has that ever happened to you where it's like this scripture just keeps coming at me, or this topic, I'm seeing it everywhere? That's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention. That's what was happening to me. The Holy Spirit was trying to get my attention and kept leading me, while I'm in this season, kept leading me to the cross. Kept leading me to the cross in this topic. And in fact, there's this song by Hillsong that I had on repeat called Lead Me to the Cross. It was, lead me to the cross, lead me to your heart, rid me of myself, I belong to you. So I began to pray that, and I'm sitting there going, okay, God, what's at the cross? What is at the cross? And I heard surrender and forgiveness. And that's what God kept bringing to my attention. See, in Jesus' pain, he surrendered. When he was in the garden, he said, let this cup pass. And he prayed and he agonized and his sweat fell like drops of blood to the ground. Yet then he said, not my will, but yours. And he went to the cross anyway. He was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. He was abandoned by all his followers. He was mocked. He was humiliated, he was abused, yet he went to the cross anyway. See, Jesus shares our pain. He shares our pain. He knows what it feels like to be broken and in pain and suffering. He wants to redeem us in that brokenness. He wants to set us free. He wants to exchange beauty for ashes. It's all at the cross. See, Jesus surrendered his will to the Father and gave the ultimate sacrifice by laying his life down for the forgiveness of our sins. Then he showed the ultimate example by forgiving others while he was there at the cross. So as I engage in this posture of surrender, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at what's at the cross, and I engage in this posture of surrender, these are the scriptures that came to me. This is what God brought to my attention. First one was Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Okay, hypocrite. Okay, examine where I've been a hypocrite, and I'll let God search me. Where have I been judging and criticizing? Then Philippians 4:8 was the next verse that he showed me. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Okay, how often were my thoughts not on those good things? How often were my thoughts on my hurt or the way people had offended me, where I'd been done wrong? How often my thoughts been replaying scenarios and situations that were negative and hurtful? And then he brought me to Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And this is when the Israelites were in Egypt under Pharaoh, and they were enslaved. And I want you to pay attention to the promises of God when we read this portion. Listen to the promises of God and how God's going to bless them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by name the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Now listen to this. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. See, the promise of deliverance was there, but in the process, they were so frustrated, so discouraged. The hardship was so great, so much so that they stopped listening to Moses about the promise because they were too discouraged in their pain. Are your thoughts fixed on the promise or on your pain? Are you having a hard time even hearing the promise because you're so discouraged? In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." If you were here last week, this is the same scripture that Jeff used. And this was already in my notes. And I already had planned on talking about this portion of pain. I was like, I can't use the same scripture twice. And he said, sure you can. So somebody in here this morning needs to hear this again. It's pure joy. How is that possible? What I once considered a pit, I now see as a gift. How? How is that even possible? There can be purpose in your pain. In fact, I'll tell you this. When I was in this pit, I didn't know if I would ever be up here again. That's where I was at. There can be purpose in your pain. And God wants to use what he did in me to free some people this morning. So this is what happened. So I had this weight that I'd been carrying. He led me to the cross to open up the bag and see what I was carrying. He took me to the cross, right? This is what we see at the cross. There, right there at the cross, Jesus forgave the soldiers who were nailing him to the cross. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't say, "I'm sorry." They didn't apologize. They weren't remorseful, yet he forgave them. And he took it a step further. He asked God to forgive them. See, he shows the example of what it looks like to forgive right there at the cross. The cross is where we find forgiveness, the power of forgiveness for our sins, and the power to forgive others. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Then in Mark chapter 11, 24 through 25, it says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." So I began to engage the kingdom process of forgiveness. And I let God open up the bag and see what I had in there. I had a lot of stuff in there, and I had no idea what I'd been carrying. And he showed me, I had no idea I had unforgiveness. I had no idea that I had any of this, that I had a grudge or any of this. This was all, it felt like a random topic. Like, why are you bringing this up? What's going on? As I let God search my heart, he revealed to me the grudges that I had, the unforgiveness that I had. And so as I'm engaging in this process, he showed me person after person, and people started coming into my mind, individuals, and I had to speak it out of my mouth. Okay, I release my grudge on this person. I forgive this person. One by one, individuals, families, family members, I release my grudge. Some of it I had judged and I had criticized, and I had to ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry for how I've judged, for how I've criticized. I asked for forgiveness for that. I had to repent of that. Organizations. Who has a grudge on an organization? I did. I released my grudge on this organization. And one by one, God began to set my heart free. It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. I had no idea that was even in there. But as I said, I release my grudge. Listen, you were never meant to carry the weight of resentment and unforgiveness. You know what God gives us? Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? When we walk around with what Jesus clothes us with, it's light, it's freeing. No more of this bondage, no more of this heaviness, no more of this weight. We weren't meant to carry it. See, there is a kingdom process and there's a worldly process. The worldly process says revenge, judgment, hatred, bitterness, the right to be offended. They don't deserve to be forgiven. But what is the kingdom process? The kingdom process says, we didn't deserve to be forgiven. There is a heavenly transaction that takes place in this kingdom process where you release the grudge, you release the resentment, you release all that stuff. And in return, you find freedom. When you engage in this process, the exchange equals freedom. Freedom is found at the cross. He wants to replace the weight you've been carrying. Love, joy, peace, patience. He wants those things to be clothed on you. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, 35, it says, Peter came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. That's an arbitrary number. It's 70 times seven, like meaning continually. There isn't a limit. You continually forgive. It's not enough just, sometimes you got to come back to it. When this grudge comes back up and you're like, oh, I release it. Nope, I forgive again and again. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. See, there's one, only one, that sits on the judgment seat. And it's not you, and it's not me. There's only one. And he forgave our sins for eternity. for eternity. And now we identify with him in his death and in his resurrection. If we're born again, the old has gone. We have died to ourselves. And we have new life in him. And that new life has no place for unforgiveness. When we walk in him and we walk in his spirit and we walk in Christ, we put on him, this new life that we identify with. So as we're walking in that, we need to ask the Lord to lead us to the cross, to search our hearts, to give us the strength, the grace, the mercy to forgive, to let go of grudges, and to be set free. We're going to have a chance to respond. The worship team is going to come out and lead us into a few songs. And if I could have you all stand up. We're going to respond to what the Lord's dealing with in our hearts this morning. And I just want to say this first. Saying I forgive isn't saying it's okay. When I was a kid growing up, if we, you know, something happened with brothers and sisters and they did something, they're like, sorry. And we're like, it's okay. Because you had to say it's okay. You had to, you know, you're like, it's okay. Even though it wasn't okay, like what they did was actually wrong and it's not okay. But you can say, I forgive, and not you're not saying that what they did was okay. Because some of you in this room have been legitimately wrong. You have been legitimately wronged by someone, and it's not okay. Forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness doesn't even necessarily mean that you invite that person into your life. There are some relationships that God wants to restore and he wants to bring healing to, but there are some that appropriate boundaries need to be put up. That's not what forgiveness is. They're not intertwined. Forgiveness is allowing God to set you free from the weight of resentment and anger and bitterness, from the pain caused by that person or situation. So we're going to take we'll take some moments in here, some quiet moments to reflect. And as I've been speaking this morning, as we've been here together, maybe a name has come to your mind, a situation has come to your mind, organization, a family member, a friend, a coworker. Maybe there's a boss. Someone has come to your mind, or multiple people have come to your mind, and you're going, I have some unforgiveness. And maybe it's deep. Maybe it's, man, I've held on to this for a really long time. Or maybe it's a seed. Maybe there's just a little seed that's starting to plant its way down, and you're going, nope, I need to release that grudge. I need to release that grudge before it becomes something too heavy to bear. And there was a lot of stuff in that pack, not just a lot of stuff that God was dealing with me on and setting me free from. But it started with this posture of, okay, God, I surrender. I'm going to surrender this to you. And so as we engage in this process and in this posture of surrender, I'm going to invite you to come down to these altars, to take this step. And there's something about taking a step down and going, God, this is my posture this morning. I'm laying open bare before you. Come and search my heart. There's no shame in this. There's freedom in this. There's freedom. I showed you my story, so you knew. No, there's no judgment. There's freedom. Let God set you free this morning. If you're watching online right now, I'm going to invite you to make the space that you're in right now an altar and respond to the Lord. When you come, I want you, maybe you need to say it out of your mouth. I release my grudge on this person. I forgive this person. And you can only do it by God's grace and his strength. This isn't something that you can do on your own. The Holy Spirit can do what we can't do. Maybe it's a, God, I confess this. I've been judgmental. I've been critical. I'll release that. I ask for forgiveness. So we're going to open this up. You can come and kneel. You can come and worship. But let's surrender to God this morning. I'm going to pray as we respond to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your love. I thank you for the cross. I thank you, God, that for your ultimate sacrifice, the forgiveness of our sins that we didn't deserve. God, I thank you that you clothe us with everything we need for our journey. God, with every step along the way, I thank you that you are tender and you are loving and you are gracious. God, and you take such great care of us. You are gentle with us. God, as you're lovingly and gently opening up things in our lives that you want to heal us of, God, I pray that we'd respond to you. I pray we would allow you to do that work in our lives, do that surgery in our lives that we need to heal us and set us free this morning. God, I pray for those who are so discouraged in their pain right now, that are so suffering in their pain right now, God, that you would help them look to you, Jesus, to look to your promise. God, that they would be able to see the freedom that is in you and allow you to engage them in their pain, identify with them in their pain, and set them free. Lord, we open ourselves up to you this morning. God, search our hearts and remove the weight. Do your work, Holy Spirit, that only you can do. In your precious name, amen.